Welcome to Behind the Bite, where we delve deep into the real life struggles and triumphs surrounding food, body, and weight. I'm Dr. Christina Castagnini, a psychologist and certified eating disorder specialist, bringing you a unique blend of personal experience as a recovered individual with over 25 years of professional expertise. In each episode, we'll share the courageous journeys of individuals who have faced these challenges firsthand, alongside insights from dedicated professionals in the field. Whether you're seeking healing, inspiration, or simply a deeper understanding, this podcast is here to empower you on your own path to a better life. Join us as we explore stories of resilience, discuss the latest insights, and strive to foster a community of support and growth. Together, we can break down barriers, challenge stigma, and pave the way towards healing and living authentically. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. So in today's episode, we're going to delve into something I so often hear people struggling with as they're on their path to recovery. So for many people, it's just scary to think about doing anything different than what they're already doing. To think about eating differently or to not follow all of the daily behaviors that they have revolved their daily life around can, of course, bring a lot of anxiety. But change can be difficult, just really scary. And for most people, the fear of the unknown results from making these changes can be the worst part. Usually, the mind goes to a catastrophic place. What's kept them safe and brought them success in their weight loss or at achieving the body that they currently have? It's been from the dieting or from them diligently following all of the rules that they have. So, of course, one of the most common things I hear from people when I ask about what keeps them from seeking help or going into treatment is that they have an intense fear of their body changing or that they're going to gain weight. So perhaps you're listening today and you have this fear yourself, or you find yourself struggling in your recovery and you have this really strong pull at times, you just want to go back and start dieting or following all of your rules. So today we have an amazing guest who is here to share her personal struggle and her resilience and transformation and how it helped her discover that letting go of that fixation on weight and appearance, how it led her to a more fulfilling life. Look, I know you probably hear that and go, yeah, that'd be great. But that's why I bring people on here, because I want to have people talk about how they overcame their struggles, to normalize it, because it is normal. It's normal to be scared. It's normal to struggle. So who is this guest? Christina Bruce, she's a body acceptance coach who specializes in helping women see through the untrue and limiting beliefs that prevent them from feeling good in their bodies and trusting themselves. She helps them reconnect to and be guided by their inner wisdom so they can confidently care for their bodies while living in a life of authenticity and with ease. She does this through one-on-one and group coaching, as well as through webinars and workshops. She has lived it and definitely knows what she's talking about. So you are all in for a fantastic episode. And at that, I'm going to go bring her on. All right. Well, Christina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, you know, I always like to ask guests a little bit about their own personal background and how they got to this place in their career and their life. So would you mind sharing a little bit about that with the audience?
Yeah. So for me, the work that I do started out really through a personal journey. I always, when I grew up, I was in a family of women who were in larger bodies and were always dieting. So they were all thinner when they were young, and then they were older and had gained weight. And so I always kind of got this sense that they were like pining for those days when they were thinner, is like they really held a lot of value and kind of saw themselves as better when they were thinner. So they talked a lot about dieting. They would always comment when people were thinner. And so because I was always in an average size body, like I wasn't thin, I wasn't large, but I really just kind of picked up on this sense that I would be better if I was thinner. Because they would my sister was smaller than me. And so they would often like comment on her body size being thinner, like praising it. And they never said that about me. So it always seemed like no matter what I did in terms of achievements in school or sports, it was like that piece was always missing, and it seemed like a really important piece to them. So that really got embedded in my mind when I was young. And thankfully, I managed to make it through my teen years without focusing too heavily on my body size. I was always really active in sports and like student council and things like that. So I don't think it really came up for me very much, but it wasn't until I graduated from university and was kind of just, out in the world on my own for the first time that, and I was dating, that I really focused on trying to be thin. I felt like if I was thin, that would just make me more valuable and better. And I was really seeking the approval from my family. Like I really wanted to hear from my family that they thought I was like beautiful and thin because it seemed like such an important thing to them. So I've just did what most people do. I watched, like, I was concentrating on what I ate. I was exercising a lot. And it wasn't that big of a stretch for me because I loved being active anyways. It didn't feel so much like I was punishing myself. But I lost weight and I really noticed a big difference in how people treated me. So, especially I was in my early 20s, I was in this friend group. And, like one of the guys had said, "Oh, we talk about how hot you are now." And it, yeah, just like I remember hearing that, and on the one hand, feeling good, but then on the other hand, feeling self-conscious and kind of sad too, and a little bit like, oh God, like what did they think of me before? So it was this sort of double-edged sword, and I don't know if that's the right metaphor, but it was good on the one hand, but not on the other. So while I was getting lots of compliments from other people all the time, I was then even more fixated on needing to keep myself looking this way because I thought, well, I don't want to lose it now. So during this time, I was also really kind of started on a personal development spiritual journey, kind of started around this time. So I got into yoga. I became a yoga teacher. I was really into the health and wellness world. And I was just on a path of, well, truthfully, just I think wanting to feel better about myself because what was fueling a lot of this, weight, trying to keep my weight down was feeling insecure about myself, thinking I wasn't good enough how I was. And if I lost weight, then I would be better. So, fast forward to I was really into health and wellness, and my then boyfriend, now husband, moved in with me. And I saw really clearly that it was hard for me to keep up everything I was doing in order to keep my weight down. So he would cook dinners and I would kind of freak out because I wasn't able to micromanage my food intake. He'd want to maybe just hang out with me when I got home from work, and it was either hang out with him or exercise. So because I was really suppressing my weight, if I stopped trying, my weight would go right back up. And that's what started to happen because I was, relaxing, quote unquote.
Jeez.
And so I got really scared and I doubled down and went even harder and started to weigh myself every day. And my husband was like, he said, "I'm not sure," or he said, "I wouldn't know who would come out of the bathroom in the morning because I would weigh myself first thing in the morning." And so it would dictate what my day was like. If I lost a pound, I was okay. But if I gained weight, I was miserable. And it just came to a point where I had signed up for this super restrictive eating program. And I remember it was like the night before I was going to start. I was traveling for work soon, and this program required you to just be really strict with your food. And I remember messaging the community, and I was like, "Well, so I'm going to be away for a conference for 4 days. I don't know, like, what am I supposed to do? And they said, well, pack your food and bring your food. And I thought, but I'm flying across the country. It's going to be like a 5-hour flight. And you want me to pack food for four? Like, this is insane. And I felt so overwhelmed that I just remember I burst into tears. I was sobbing before bed. And I thought, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't live my life like this. So that was a real turning point for me. I quit the program. I didn't even start it. And it started a very slow kind of journey over a year of I'd come across intuitive eating. I'd heard about intuitive eating. That sort of led me down health at every size I came across. So I started learning, reading some books and started listening to podcasts about intuitive eating, and that learned a lot about the fact that the weight science out there that we're told is it's not exactly what we're led to believe, that it's weight itself that causes poor health conditions. It's not that. So that really freed up a misunderstanding in my mind. And I decided one day to just stop. So I stopped everything. I threw out my scale, like cold turkey, just stopped, allowed myself to eat anything I wanted, wow. You know, move in the way I wanted. And that was really difficult because I gained weight really quickly. Mm-hmm. And I was going through a huge emotional upheaval because I immediately lost all of the compliments. As soon as I started gaining weight, people stopped complimenting me. And it really felt like I was losing the approval of people, this whole identity that I'd had of being a, you know, a thin, healthy, beautiful person. And I thought, well, then what do I do now? Like, how can I be happy if I don't have this to hold on to? And so that led me to go deeper into my own personal development, spiritual journey to really start to realize that my worth and value doesn't come in from my body size, and that everything that I was believing about myself that I'd been conditioned to believe, that being in a larger body was bad and ugly and meant you weren't attractive or unworthy, just wasn't true. And that it's actually those conditioned beliefs that cause a lot of pain and suffering for people and lead us to be spending way, way, way too much time thinking about our bodies and spending time eating in a way and moving in a way that we don't actually want to do because we think we have to, because we think that who we are and how we're valued is tied up in that. So when I was able to disassociate all of that and realize none of that was true and start to actually awaken to who I really am beyond what these beliefs are in my mind, I was able to find a peace and a confidence and a strength and a security in myself that I never had gained before from when I was dieting. And so then I was able to just find balance again with food, which just came naturally, as did exercising and movement, which comes, I don't even, you know, I have no program or anything I follow now. I just always check in and say, what feels good to me today? And that's it. So I now, see my body very differently than I did before. I'm way more accepting of it, especially even after having a baby. It's different since then. And I have a lot of peace around my body now because I know the source of where our suffering comes from. And it's not from how our body looks or its body size. And so that led me, and all this time I had gone through coaching programs and became trained. And so it just made total sense for me to want to work with people who had experienced the same things.
Mm-hmm. So, oh my gosh, thank you for sharing all of that. What a journey. And, you know, I think, you know, probably people listening, you know, if they have eating disorder mind right now, I'm imagining they picked up on some of the things you were sharing and going, see, that's exactly why I have to keep doing what I'm doing, because of that one moment you had where you stopped doing it all and you gained all the weight. And that's why I'm not going to do it ever. Because that's everyone's fear, right? Like, if I stop doing this, that's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah. And, So, and I'm sure you probably hear that from people too, of like, that's a reason they're scared of going into treatment or getting better, is that exact thing happening. What would you say to somebody who's listening right now saying, thinking that exact thing? Because you did go through the transition of like, you know, your body shifting and stopping all the eating disorder behaviors that you were struggling with and kind of taking over your life. And then now to obviously making peace with your body, food. What would you say to somebody who's like, hell no, I'm not doing that ever?
Yeah, I know. And I really relate to that because when I talked about there was a year where I came across and I heard about intuitive eating and I said no way because I'm going to gain weight. Like, there's no way I'm doing this. Like, I have to keep my weight down. So sorry, sounds nice, but can't do it. It really comes to a point, I think, for most people that the pain has to outweigh, like the pain has to get stronger on the one end. So it's like, it's harder. It's more painful to keep doing what you're doing than what the alternative might be. Like which are really just this thought of going through, gaining weight. Now, firstly, I would say that the mind is what creates suffering. So it's not actually the body itself. It's the thinking about the body that creates the suffering. So when you think about what is it going to be like if I end up gaining weight, well, already there's a lot of suffering there. Like, you don't know because it hasn't happened, but it's always the thinking. So it's going to feel, it can feel really bad when you think that, what are the beliefs that are present? You know, I'm not worthy. I'm out of, like, I'm not good enough. Like, that's what's actually causing the suffering, not the weight gain itself. And so if you're afraid of gaining weight, well, then you're going to stay stuck in whatever the pattern is. So it's like, I would just tell people, you can't, like, the thing is that you can't force anybody to do this, right? You can't force this change. Just like nobody could force me to do this. I had to come to a point where I wanted to be free. So I just didn't want to be suffering so much anymore doing exactly what I was doing. Like, I liken trying to manage your body size as being like walking on a track that's going in a circle. But you don't realize you're going in a circle. You think you're actually going somewhere because you're doing something and you see yourself moving and you're moving forward, but you're going nowhere. You're just staying exactly where you are, constantly like trying to keep these feelings and these thoughts at bay. That's what dieting does. It's like, because if you gain weight, there's all of these beliefs and thoughts that are associated with it. That's what causes the suffering. Like, if you didn't think that fat was bad or ugly or that you wouldn't be loved or whatever, then you wouldn't care. Like, it wouldn't make no difference. So it's the association of the beliefs and the ideas to the body size that causes the suffering, not the body itself. So when you can actually know that that's what's happening, and you know actually how to address that and work at that level, then that's where you start to free yourself because nobody really wants to be doing this. And not like everybody thinks they want to do it, but they think that that's the better alternative to living in the emotional and mental hell that they'd be living in if they gained weight, which is just reliving all of these ideas, like living all of these ideas and beliefs that are going through their mind that are associated with weight gain. So the dieting just pushes that aside for a second. So it forces you to be doing these things that you don't want to be doing because you think you have to, because you think you can't handle the alternative, which is hearing all of your thoughts and feeling all of these feelings when you gain weight. So when you start to actually understand that that's what's happening, and then you know how to act to move through that. Well, now you free yourself from having to control your body size anymore, and then you actually get to live in accordance to what feels authentic to you and what you really want to be doing in your life, because you don't want to be spending time managing your weight. You think you do. It seems like the best option at the moment when that's all you know how to feel okay, because it's all about trying to feel okay and feel safe, right? So if that's all you know how to feel okay or safe is to manage your weight, then that's going to seem like the best option. But it's at a huge cost because you're not free and you're not actually really doing what you want to do in your life. You're not living in a way that is in accordance to what really feels authentic to you. So it's being able to know that on the other side of it, I always would kind of tell clients, so the journey of trying to manage your weight is going around in a circle and everybody's like walking this path. So you have tons of company with you. It's a well-worn path. Like it's easy to walk in that respect. The path to freeing yourself from that, I kind of always have this visual of it being like a path that's going through the mountains. And in the beginning, it's really rocky. But when you go past it, it's like a path that actually goes somewhere. I always see it as like this nice little like sunrise that's coming up in the distance. And like it starts to smooth out more at the end, but you have to be able to get through the rocky part in the beginning, which is the thing that's been driving you to keep going on this path to begin with. So it's doing the deeper inner work. It's a mental and emotional game. Like that's the source of it. And that's the level that I work at with my clients is I get to the foundational root of what is causing their suffering with their body. And once they're able to work at that level, it's challenging the beginning because it feels like, oh my God, I can't face like everything that's happening. Well, when you have support and when you have tools and when you start to understand what's actually happening, instead of being like along for the ride with all of these horrible thoughts, now you become empowered and you're able to do the healing to free yourself from it. And then it's like the best thing ever. So it can kind of suck in the beginning because it's tough, but it certainly is less sucky than spending the rest of your life walking around in this circle, like just not doing what you actually want to be doing with your life. Like that's the way I look at it. But it has to be an inner feeling of how badly do you want to be happy? That's what it comes down to me. Like, do you really want to be happy? Because if you do, then you're going to have to go through a little bit of the harder stuff that is getting in the way of that. But once you know how to manage that, then you're on a real path out. And then it just keeps getting better and better and better. And it's the best thing because your body's changing every day and it's not going to be going in the direction that you want it in this respect. Like, if we really look at it, if we're trying to maintain some kind of beauty standard, which says that it's all about looking young, you're going in the opposite of that. And if you don't know how to handle that, then you're going to be spending the rest of your life always thinking you're not good enough, trying to keep yourself looking young. And again, it's not really what you want to do. It's just that you have beliefs that you've been conditioned with and programmed with through the society and through your family, and you've innocently attached your worth and value to these beliefs. And then that's what's holding you back. But when you can see that that's not actually who you are, and that you can work through that, well, then you're unstoppable. Then you're actually in your power. And then you start to disassociate from these beliefs that you've been conditioned to believe about your body size. And then you get to actually just tune into what really feels good to you. I hope that makes sense.
No, it does, because I went through the journey myself, right? So, I mean, I second everything you're saying, and it's very hard, especially for many of the things that you mentioned as you were talking, like you get that external validation from people when you are on that path, like, hey, you're doing a great job, and it feels great, right? It's like you get this, that hit of dopamine, right? You get that like pleasure, and you're getting validated, and it's like, wow, who doesn't want that, right? And then as soon as, like you said, you went the other way and your body started to change, all of that went away. People weren't making the positive comments, and so it's almost like negative reinforcement, like, wait a minute, like I don't want to live in a world where I'm not getting compliments or people aren't saying things. What does that mean? Like, and it, I hate that in a way when people make compliments about your body, to your point that you mentioned, it's like, well, what did I look like before? It's like, this is horrible. It sets up a horrible mindset. And it's almost like you keep chasing that, and the pressure is on. Okay, now that I'm here, it's almost like I have to stay here because now what? And I'm just wondering your thoughts on like, what do you think people can do when they stop getting like the positive compliments, or even perhaps live in like homes or have a social world where they get negative comments? Like they're trying to go through this and people are saying, gosh, you're letting yourself go, or maybe you should go on this diet. Or, I mean, I hear all sorts of things because, you know, a lot of the times eating disorders do stem from things like what you were mentioning, like just comments about like comparing your sister's body, or positive comments about your sister and what you tell yourself about that. And, you know, families can be harsh, you know, if they're very ingrained in the toxic diet culture beliefs and things.
Yeah, 100%. It's really challenging, especially in the beginning when you're in that environment. Like I've often likened stopping dieting is like trying not to drink when you're in a bar. You know, like you're trying to recover from, say, alcoholism in a bar. It's the same. It's like trying to accept your body in an environment that's constantly telling you it should be looking a certain way or that you should change it. It's so difficult. It can be. Now, it doesn't feel difficult to me now, but it did in the beginning. So what was really helpful for me in the beginning was really immersing myself in a lot of body acceptance and body positive, like podcasts, you know, like yours, or reading books. That was helpful to get a different message, to really start to counter those messages that I was hearing. And when I was able to, you know, understand the research, and it just made sense to me. And I realized that what was that, how people were understanding things was just not the truth. It was easier for me. This is why, particularly in the coaching that I do with people, is I help them to access the place within them where their true worth and value lies, so that they can be self-referred instead of needing external validation and approval in order to feel okay. Because if you constantly need other people to agree with you or to compliment you or to uplift you, which I think it's great if you have support, you know, like, yes, obviously. My husband was really actually a huge support for me and my own recovery from this. So having some positive support is key. But if you really need it, that's where we get stuck. So we have to be able to find the place within ourselves where our worth and value reside. So we need to be able to be rooted and grounded in ourselves, because that is ultimately our worth and value is who we are. We are worthy. We are valuable. You can't escape that. Everybody is worthy and valuable, but we have a mind that tells us that we're not. That the voice that just got implanted by other people who also believed that. So I also help people to understand too that everybody else around you who might believe different is just believing their own thoughts too. So they struggle. So whatever they're saying is what their internal experience is. So if somebody's criticizing somebody else about how they look, well, they're criticizing themselves about how they look. They have to, because you don't put out there what you don't also do to yourself. So all it's saying is, oh, wow, this person must really be suffering too, because I know what that's like to constantly be criticizing yourself. It sucks. And to think that you're not good enough. So to realize that it's not actually personal what people are saying to you, even when they say you, when they say you need to be doing this, it's not actually personal. Right. All it is a reflection of what's going on within themselves and their own belief system. Just because they say you and try to put it on you doesn't mean that that's true for you. So it's all about really finding and accessing this strength that is within ourselves and constantly coming back and tapping into that. So I'm really big on meditation, and I run a weekly meditation group, because that's like the beginning point of being able to realize, oh, there's a whole world inside of me, an access and source of wisdom and a voice inside of me that's actually really kind and really wise and nurturing. And how can I listen to that more instead of the voice in my head? And when we do this internal work, we will start to then also attract people or want to be around people who are more supportive of us too. So sometimes it may mean that some of our friends might change, or, you know, the people that are around us have changed when we're doing this healing work, and that's okay, because we're opening up space for people to come into our lives who are more uplifting and more supportive. So getting support from other people, listening, you know, reading, doing whatever, anything that makes you feel better about you is the key. Mm-hmm. So simple things in the beginning were like, stop following, you know, dieting influencers or any people talking about diets or anything like that. Just stop and start filling your social media feed with body positive influencers, people who are in larger bodies, who are living happy lives, realize it's possible, because we won't see it in our media. You know, we don't see it in TV. So you need to be able to see it somewhere else to help bolster you. And then again, just listen to, read books, follow anything that makes you feel better about yourself, that challenges your beliefs, that helps you to feel good and uplifted and stronger, because it's all about feeling strengthened internally, because we're always going to be living in this world where there will be people, like, no matter what, there's going to be somebody who doesn't like you. You know, there's going to be somebody who's going to criticize you. I mean, even supermodels get criticized for how they look. So there's no winning here. Like, there's no achieving a certain look and that's going to keep you safe from all of the criticism. It's not. So it can never be about achieving something externally and then you get that thing and now you're safe and good, because that's going to, well, then if you get that, well, then either you have to try to keep it, which isn't always going to happen, or your mind's going to go on to the next thing. So it will, you know, find something else that now you suck at and you need to be better at. So it's, that's kind of, I guess, what I would say.
No, and all great things. And I'm glad you're bringing them up. And, you know, as you were talking, I was just thinking, gosh, you know, how come we only portray certain people that look a certain way with certain bodies as like, they are so happy, they're so valued. And the reality is, you know, and I don't know how, I mean, you described it very well, but the pursuit of looking like that when your body is not meant to look like that is hell, right? It's like, how happy are you if you actually look like that and you're not meant to, if your body is just meant to, when you're healthy and happy and living your life and engaged in life and all the things you talked about, your body's not going to look like that, because you're not struggling. You're not hurting yourself. You're not starving yourself. Your body's not actually unhealthy. Nobody portrays like the hell that it is. It's just, oh, you're so happy, you're valued, you're beautiful, you're whatever, attractive, all these things. I wish we would portray the truth a little bit more. Like, hey, you know what? Like, that's actually hell for some people. Some people, hey, if you're genetically meant to be that way, great. But like, there's such a small percentage, so tiny, that actually can live their life in the way you just described and look like that and be happy and fulfilled. Yeah.
That's it. There's a certain small segment of the population who will be able to just live in alignment with themselves and have a body that happens to fit the cultural ideal. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the beauty standards and cultural ideals have always changed over time. So while it might be that body type this time, mm-hmm. you know, 50 years from now, it could be a different body type. So Yeah, and it keeps coming. Now you could have the mindset that would say, oh, well, lucky them. I wish it poor me because look, now I have it harder. Everybody has challenges. So even the thin people, they're not happy because they're thin. They don't maybe have the challenges that somebody in a larger body in this culture is going to face. True, they won't. But it's not like it's not that their life is perfect and that they don't have any challenges. They do. Everybody have challenges. But what I look at it, the way I look at it is that if you happen to be in a larger body in this culture right now that just praises and idolizes thin bodies, then there's something in this for you. So there's an opportunity here to go beyond and above this because you're not, the only option is to try to, well, put yourself through hell in order to try to meet this standard so you could feel okay, or you can break free from like everything that I've been talking about, which is live, find the way that you can be happy as you. And that means you're going to go above and beyond it because you're not going to be needing now this external validation and to be happy. And that's the ultimate goal because it doesn't even matter if it's body size. It could be like somebody wanting to do a career that their family doesn't approve of. You know, like there's always going to be something that the society or things around won't approve of or will make things harder. Everybody has challenges. So, but we can take these challenges and use them as an opportunity to become stronger and to break free from the limitations that our mind is telling us is true. Because we're only limited by what our thinking is telling us. Doesn't mean that there's not factual things that are happening. Like, for example, you know, people in larger bodies who might struggle to fit on a plane seat. It doesn't mean that that doesn't exist. It absolutely does. And that can be frustrating and people might feel motivated to advocate, you know, to change that. I mean, let's be honest, plane seat sizes have been shrinking ever since planes, like it's just, it sucks, period, like to travel by plane these days. But the point that I'm saying is like, we can either be really down about it and victimized and like, oh no, my life sucks because of it. Or we can come into a different mindset about it and realize that we can be empowered in this and we can still feel good about ourselves, and break free from any limitations that we might have mentally. Because it really is about how we perceive things that changes our situation. We're always going to have challenges. Like that is life. Life is going to give us challenges. I think in our minds, we sometimes think we're trying to reach some sort of utopia where we never experience a challenge. And that's why we're always trying to do this thing and fix that thing. And if I can just, it's like playing whack-a-mole, you know, we're trying to get all the, like, we're trying to whack all the moles down, but then something else pops up. And instead, we have to realize it's the perception of any situation that changes how we experience it. And the same goes for our body. And I'll give a clear example. It's like a fact might be it's raining outside. Okay, that's a fact. Everybody can feel it, it's happening. How you perceive the rain will change your experience of it. So if somebody's like, oh, how nice, like the flowers are getting watered, or how nice that I get to sit inside and be cozy. Or maybe I got caught in the rain and like, what an interesting experience to like feel the rain on my, like, I mean, it's all in perception. Whereas somebody else could say, this is terrible. I hate rainy days. Like I wanted to go outside and now I'm going to get wet and this really sucks. Like it's rain, period. But how you perceive it changes your experience of it. And that is exactly how we experience life. So that's how we experience our body. That's how we experience certain situations. There's facts, there are things that are happening, and then there's our perception of it. And when it comes, and when, here's the thing too, we have an intuition, we have an inner guidance, I call it our inner wisdom, that we can listen to move us in a, to take action and to live life in a way that feels good and supportive to us. When we don't listen to the stories of our mind and we learn how to tap into this inner wisdom, then we're always going to be guided to be doing things that are supportive for us. So it's not black and white. It's not like, oh, I'm not dieting anymore, so I'm not going to care about my body, which is usually what people think.
Right.
That's not true. That's not true. We are actually designed to live in well-being. Well-being is our baseline, but we have a mind that is talking to us all the time, and we believe everything that it says. We actually think it's who we are. Most people believe that that voice in your head is you. It's not you. It's not actually you. It's your mind. It's separate from you. Mm-hmm. And so when you see that that's separate from you and you don't have to listen to it, but you can now tap into a different source of wisdom and intelligence and guidance that is your intuition, then now you start living life that's in alignment to you, that's in alignment with well-being, and that's supportive to you. And that's always going to guide you, and that's going to provide you a different perception. So the mind is usually giving you a really crappy perception, and it's usually critical, and it's saying all these negative things.
Yeah.
Your inner wisdom is speaking to you from a place of openness and love and caring and kindness. And it's not passive. It's also active. You can get inspired to do things. You have new ideas. It's creative. It's enlightening. So when we start living from that place, which is not the dieting mind. It's not the eating disorder mind. So the eating disorder is in the mind. That's where that lives. Intuition is separate from that. So when we can start to listen to that more and be guided by that, now we're going to have a different perspective on our bodies. We're going to see ourselves differently, and we're going to be able to take actions that are a lot more supportive and in alignment with what actually feels true to us.
No, and thank you for saying that, because I think that it's so hard to tease out what is the eating disorder voice and thoughts and feelings versus like not.
It's actually really simple. It's actually really simple. And here's the thing. If it feels bad, it's the eating disorder voice. If it feels good, like, and by good, I don't mean like temporarily I'm getting a fix good,
right?
Because that's a hit of like, I'm quelling this urge, but like, I feel calm. I feel uplifted. I feel expansive. I feel open. I feel safe. Mm-hmm. That's not the eating disorder voice. That's your inner wisdom. If the thought feels bad, it's in your mind. And that's the eating disorder, plain and simple. Does it feel stressful? Do you feel anxious? Do you feel constricted? Do you feel low? That is the mind. It's all in how it feels. So it's like a barometer. You got to feel into this. That's the signal. How am I feeling right now? If I'm feeling any sort of constriction or tension or anxiety or stress, that means there is something in my mind right now that I'm listening to that is actually out of alignment with the truth for me. And an eating disorder is out of the alignment with the truth.
Thank you for giving a quick way to do that. Because I do hear that all the time. I feel so much more in control. I feel better. I feel like I'm on my path. When I'm doing all these things and my life is in order, you know, when they're doing all the rituals. But I think that's just because there's a little bit of numbing going on there too.
It temporarily feels safe. It feels safer. But if you really tune, if they were to really tune in and sense into that, there's still a bit of stress there.
Oh yeah.
Because there's, I have to do this. It doesn't really feel good. It doesn't feel calm. It doesn't feel relaxing. It doesn't feel like it feels temporarily safe. And that's the trick of it. Is it like, that's the trick to making us think, oh, but I do feel good. No, you feel temporarily good. Like you feel, it's like, I'm just trying to think of an example of like, well, it's like really like, let's use drug use. Okay. It's like, if you are in a detox, like, I don't know, I haven't been a drug addict, but say you're detoxing from being addicted to a drug, you're going to temporarily get that hit of the drug. You're going to feel good. right? Because it's taking away momentarily the pain of the detox or the intensity of the urge, but it keeps the cycle going. It's just a real temporary feel good, and that goes away really quickly. And you don't really like truly feel good. If here's the thing, if it's temporary as well, then that's not actually the root source of your nature. Because when you're connected to your true self, that's a constant. It's actually always there. When you access that, it's always there. You can always find it. It's here right now for everybody. It's totally available to access in this moment, but it doesn't require like doing a thing in order to get it. It doesn't require doing a ritual or eating a certain way. It's actually letting go of all of that and noticing what's present here right now. So if it has to be done in order to feel good, then it's actually the eating disorder voice or the mind talking.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to put it. Because the eating disorder mind is loud. It's very punishing. It's very negative. It's like, if you don't do this, you're going to feel bad. If there's guilt, there's anxiety, there's fear, there's all sorts of things, right? That go on with that. It's like this compulsion to have to do all these things. But then likewise, the fear of what if I don't do these things? That's like, it feels like a free falling, like, I don't know what to do. And then, you know, that's really to your point when you need to work with somebody like yourself or a professional to help you deal with that, because it can be very scary to be like, oh my gosh, I've been running my life with all these rituals, routines, and behaviors. Now, what do I do? It can feel very scary.
Yeah. And that's why you have to be able to realize that there is a grounded, centered place in all of us that is the core of who we really are. And when you can access that place within yourself and you know how to, then you don't have to feel like you're in free fall anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the place to keep returning to. So it's understanding that that actually exists within all of us. And that's what we're seeking. We're seeking that peace. But we listen to the mind and the mind says, oh, you're going to get that peace if you just, you know, don't eat this or exercise this. And so you feel that temporary peace, but it's only ever temporary. And you have to keep doing it again and again. And then all it does is drain your energy. It actually is very incredibly draining. It's not life-giving. It's life-taking. Mm-hmm. And it completely takes you away from what your heart desires, your deeper purpose, what really fulfills you. That's not what you really want to do. It's just you don't know any other way in that moment to feel safe. And so you do the best that you can. Like an eating disorder or anything like that is doing the best that you can and that you know how in the moment, right? So it's like there's nothing shameful about it. It's just, it's like, this is all I got. This is what I knew to do. This makes me feel good right now. It's like, yeah, it does in that way. But we eventually get to a point where we start to realize this is hurting me more than it's helping me, which is the case with any coping mechanism that we use, of which I consider an eating disorder as a coping mechanism. When we realize that that's actually not helping us anymore. Like it did at one point, there was some sense of safety, some sense of control, some sense of feeling okay that we got, that people got from the eating disorder at some point. That's why they even did it. Like it was a wise thing to do in the moment. That's why we don't do things usually. We do them because they help in some way, but eventually, if it's not truly helping us, it will hurt us. And that's what, you know, the eating disorder does.
Right. No, and thank you for saying that. And I think, you know, this is a lot to take in. I think for people who might be right in the midst of their eating disorder or thinking about, you know, looking into intuitive eating or maybe thinking about reaching out to someone to help guide them on their path to recovery. So if anyone does have questions, they may want to reach out to you and, you know, see about working with you, how can they do that?
Yeah. I get it. I'm pretty direct with this stuff. So
yeah.
I understand what it's like in those beginning stages too. Mm-hmm. So I work primarily one-on-one with people because I like to meet people where they're at, mm-hmm. and be able to go specifically at what their challenges are. So people can reach out to me at my website, ChristinaBruce.com, Christina with a K. And I'm on Instagram as well. Some social channels, Facebook, YouTube, that kind of thing.
Just a few things. Yeah, no, she's got, you have great content. I love your content. Definitely have all that in the show notes. So people, if they want to find Christina, she is out there. The links mm-hmm. will all be there. Any last final words? I know you shared a lot and I appreciate your personal journey as well as just great information for people who are struggling out there. Mm-hmm. And maybe even people who aren't, but have loved ones and maybe this helped them understand a little bit more. So I think that's important too. But any last final words for anyone listening?
I guess I would just say that I certainly, I know how challenging it can be. And I really think that anybody who's struggling with an eating disorder are some of the smartest, most sensitive people, intuitive people that I've come across and have a lot of power within them. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of potential to be able to go beyond it because I think that that's what gets them into it in the first place is they're very sensitive, powerful beings mm-hmm. and maybe experienced some challenges growing up, which is usually the case. So to know that whatever is being put into the eating disorder can also be rechanneled into accessing and harnessing your true power and that's available to everybody. Everybody is okay, worthy, valuable, and good enough just as they are.
Fantastic. Thank you. Great positive words. Love that. All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciated you being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for listening today. Behind the Bite podcast is created by me, Dr. Christina Castanini, as part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network and produced by the Tweaky Tales. I love hearing from my listeners. So if you like the show, please like, rate, and subscribe to it on whatever platform you're on. And for anyone who wants to understand their relationship with food better, or who might be wondering if they have an eating disorder, I have a free 9-week e-course at my website. Just go to www.behindthebitepodcast.com to get your free e-course today. Please note, this podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither host, the publisher, or the guests are rendering legal, clinical, or other professional information. If you want or need a professional, you should find one to work with who can address your individual needs and situation. Thank you.